We've been extremely aggressive in meeting the federal mandates to reduce our energy intensity 30% by 2015. Our average, for the Postal Service, our average annual reduction goal is an average annual reduction of 900 billion BTUs a year. And at the end of 2009, we were on track to meet and actually exceed that reduction. Last fiscal year, for example, we had achieved a cumulative energy intensity reduction of 21% when our federal target was 12% reduction in BTUs.
So how were you able to pull that off?
Well, the foundation of our success is credible, cost-effective design criteria for just energy-efficient lighting, HVAC, and building controls. Our in-house postal staff and contract to support have received comprehensive ongoing training. The technology is just emerging daily. So the training on these requirements has been an ongoing effort, and part of that training is indicating and showing and testing effective means and methods to deliver these energy projects. We audit the facilities for energy conservation opportunities. We identify the BTU reductions, calculate the return on that investment. As you mentioned earlier, it's so important to make sure not just that we're doing the right thing from a green perspective, that we're using our funds and our budgets very wisely. So once we've calculated that return on that investment and we know that it's the right way to go for the Postal Service, we'll proceed with that energy project as long as it's economically viable and a sound business decision.
And do you find that there is this outlay of money first before you see an ROI? And how long is the gap between spending the money for it and investing in it and getting that savings back?
It's almost instantaneous once the energy conservation project is completed. What we are seeing is amazing results in our utility bills. As an example, a typical postal energy conservation project would be a lighting retrofit, and where we go into one of our existing plants where the workroom floor could have a ceiling height of 40 feet above the finished floor. And the lighting in those facilities is going to be either a high-pressure sodium or a metal halide lighting. And what we're doing in these projects is we're pulling out that energy inefficient lighting and replacing it with T8 high bay fluorescent lamps and fixtures. And almost immediately, the month following the project, the utility bills are indicating 25%, 30%, 40% reductions on utility electric costs compared to prior to the project. I mean, literally, we have maintenance managers just applauding some of the facilities' efforts to reduce their utility bills.
And what kind of facilities are you targeting? Because Postal has everything from gigantic processing centers near ports all the way to little tiny post offices out in the country. Some of them still have pot-bellied stoves.
You're exactly right. Exactly right. Well, obviously, the larger facilities are going to give us more bang for the buck. So on those lighting projects, the HVAC project, the control projects, we're going to have immediate gratification, if you will, as far as those utility savings. But we can't and we do not discard the small facilities because there's more of those. We have approximately 500 of the large plants, but our average postal facility size is about 4,000 square feet, so it's just a little larger than a house. And so it's the changing the attitudes and behaviors of everybody operationally involved, from the postmaster to the letter carriers, about closing the dock doors, turning off the lights on your way out. And those facilities that we are building in those smaller facilities, and as we do the repair and alteration projects, we are using our standard design, our building design criteria, which is our standard design criteria. And the foundation for that criteria is energy efficiency. And whether it's energy efficiency in the lighting that we choose, the HVAC systems that we direct, the control systems, and whether it's the roofing material. You know, for example, our standard specification for roofing materials, whether it's a very small facility or a very large facility, is an Energy Star rated roof. So we can do our best to reduce the carbon emissions and get better HVAC and utility savings.
How do you measure those carbon emissions, and how are you sure that those measurements are accurate?
That's a very good question. With our, you know, over 33,000 facilities, and you need to keep in mind that 33,000 facilities, we have more facilities than McDonald's and Walmart combined, as well as the largest civilian vehicle fleet in the nation. Our challenge is with those facilities is to look not just at the utility savings that we're earning with these energy conservation projects, but at, you know, our daily utility reductions.
Now, speaking of roofs, you have one roof in Manhattan, I believe it is, that's a green roof. How big is the opportunity to expand that type of program?
It's huge. It's huge. Obviously, not every roof is going to be as successful a candidate as that facility in New York, which is now the largest green roof in Manhattan. Not only does it successfully reduce the carbon emissions and create a better environment for the employees and the folks in the downtown Manhattan area, but we're looking for how we can expand that opportunity. Now, clearly, to do a green roof like that, you need a roof structure that's a little stronger, and you need to make sure that all of the other conditions are correct, which worked out well. There is a larger first cost for a green roof, and we need to make sure that the return on that investment is there. And you generally get that by nature of the fact that a green roof will last at least twice as long as a standard roofing material. But to answer your question, we are looking at other opportunities to put forth more of that type of roofing material.
We're talking with Jennifer Biro-Revier. She's the manager of the energy program and a team leader of HQ Design and Construction Programs at the Postal Service. Now, you run energy audits, too. Tell us how they work and the sort of feedback that you're getting from these energy audits, how that helps you do your job.
The energy audits we conduct identify the opportunities. For these energy audits, design professionals go into these facilities and they conduct comprehensive on-site reviews of the facility, and they evaluate the existing conditions. They evaluate the existing lighting, the HVAC, the electrical and building infrastructure components that impact the energy efficiencies of that building. As an example, an audit of a 400,000 square foot mail processing facility will identify, for example, that the current high pressure sodium or metal halide workroom lights could yield 30% to 40% electrical utility cost savings if replaced with high bay T8 fluorescent lamps and fixtures. In fact, the majority of our energy conservation opportunities involve lighting retrofits. Second to lighting would be HVAC projects that provide more energy-efficient air distribution and, most importantly, controls. Controls on the projects, on those HVAC systems and lighting so that, for example, the lights will go on as the first person comes in for their shift, and the lights will automatically go off at the end of that shift. And lights will go off in certain areas of these very huge plants where the automation is not being used and where people are not actually occupying the space. So the lights on a 400,000 square foot facility might only be on in 20% of that facility.